Ephesians chapter 3, page 1252, if yours is a Schofield Reference Bible, page 1252. And we'll begin with verse 17 and read through verse 21. And then on the same page, or the opposite page, one other verse to read after we read this section. Verses 17 through 21, we'll read the verses responsively. May we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and this is the text verse, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and the next verse together also, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And let's read together also the 13th verse of chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 13. Let's read it. Please, ready? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And let's pray. Father, what a delight, what a joy to be in this place once again. It's our church. We love it here. And we thank thee for those of our friends with whom we fellowship week by week in this place that has become precious to us. But it's precious because thou art here. And thou hast met with us, lo, these many years, and we thank thee. Thank you for today. We pray for thy blessing, for the service, and the preaching of thy word. Help us to give it a good hearing. And help this, our preacher, and give him that of thy power, which he needs, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Because of the time this morning, I'll not be as lengthy as usual. I'm not usually lengthy on Sunday morning. I want to call your attention, in addition, without your turning to it, in addition to the passages read a while ago, and my text is that scripture that says we should be filled with all the fullness of Christ. But I want to add to that this little giant verse. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, unto a Christ be formed in you. I want to speak this morning on the subject, filled with his fullness. Filled with his fullness. I beg you for your sake to listen. Not so I'll have somebody to hear me, but so that you can hear the truth that God has ordained that you would hear on this Sunday morning, August 4th, 1985, which will never come again. Father, bless, I pray, this message to our hearts, this great truth to our growth in grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul writes to those whom he had won to Christ and to those whom he had pastored and some whom he was pastoring. And Paul said, my little children, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I was thinking this week, preaching basically to me is this. I'm trying with all of my heart to get you to give all of your heart to Christ. And I ask God to give me at least one a week. I'm not talking about one to be saved. I'm asking God to give me at least somebody every week who gets the idea that we're supposed to give everything to Christ. This morning I hope that each of you will listen carefully, and some of you will consider carefully the total presentation of your life, your all, your words, your possessions, your strength, your talents to God. I understand, I think, what the apostle meant when he said, I travail, I hurt. And sometimes in my chest and my stomach, I hurt because I want you to get it so badly. Because I think it is so life or death in its content. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what you're looking for in life is available. You're looking for peace, but you're not looking at the right place. You're looking for joy, but you're not looking at the right place. I'm saying that everybody in this world is searching for something. And that something for which everybody in this world is searching is available. In fact, His fullness is available now. If it be true that His fullness is available now, and if all of these things that we think we want were available in Christ, why then are we dwelling in poverty in the midst of riches, and starving in the midst of a feast? Why do we as God's people, why do we not have what is available for us if it, as a fact, is available for us? I think I know one reason. Follow me very carefully for the next 2 minutes. We think that that growth in grace, we think that growth in grace is like physical growth. that it must come gradual, and that it must come providential. Providentially. In other words, we grow. Now, there's nothing we can do except eat and exercise and rest and so forth to aid our the physical growth of a child. I mean, a child is going to be small when he's 2, a little bigger when he's 3. We can pretty well chart the physical growth of a child. Now, follow me carefully. We equate spiritual growth with physical growth. And we feel that Christ must grow in us gradually and providentially, just like physical growth. For example, we feel that a person cannot be mature spiritually until he is at the age where he can be mature spiritually. But it isn't true. You see, this is not a matter in the Christian life of us growing and Christ growing in us. Christ was already formed when you got saved. And follow me carefully, your spiritual maturity was available to you the moment you got saved. And if you so choose, you can be mature spiritually as soon as you want to be. You don't have to wait around like a child. Now, a child, when he's 4, he's going to have to wait 13, 14 years for his enough. He's going to have to wait for his body to get certain size. But see, Christ does not grow in us. Christ was already formed, and all of Christ wants to come in us, and how much of Him becomes in us and how much He's formed in us depends upon us. You see, we do not work with Christ in producing His being formed in us. All that we can be, hear me now, all that we can be is already formed. Did you hear me? Hey, that's why some people here today have been saved 1 year and a mature Christian. And there's some folks been saved 25, 30 years and they're babes in Christ. Why? Now, a little baby physically is going to grow if everything's all right. But a little baby spiritually is not going to grow
He can grow immediately or he cannot grow at all. There is no natural growth to the spiritual man. Now, that means this. That means that all that we can be now. That means that the fullness of Christ can dwell in us and we can now be filled with His fullness. I can show you folks this morning in this room who've been saved less than a year, who read their Bible an hour a day. I can show you folks who've been saved less than a year, who pray 30 minutes a day in this room right now. I can show you folks who go soul winning and bring folks down this aisle, been saved less than a year. I can show you folks who are mature Christians in less than a year. I can show you folks in this room of the dozens who've been saved 25, 30, 35 years, don't read the Bible 5 minutes a day, don't pray 5 minutes a day, never witnessed anybody. Why? Because we've got the idea that spiritual growth is like physical growth. It's just going to happen, and you got to wait till it happens, but that's not true. Everything that was available for your maturity was already formed before you ever got saved. And the fullness of Christ became available to you at salvation, and how fast you grow and how rapidly you mature depends completely and solely on you. You can grow as fast as you will. His fullness is available now. You may choose how full you are to be of His fullness. Not our being filled with Him, but His fullness entering into us is it. Christ, hear me now, Christ is not rationed out to you a little bit at a time or a little bit every day. All of Christ is available to all of you now. And you don't have to wait to be filled with His fullness. You can be filled with His fullness now. There's no need for you folks to be. Folks be 25 and 30 years old in Christ and not even coming to church on Wednesday night. There's no need for that. There's no need for you folks to be 25, 30 years old in Christ and don't even tithe. There's no need for that. There's no need for you folks to be 25 or 30 years old in Christ and don't read your Bible 5 minutes a day. There's no need for that. I mean, God made a package for you, and that package is for your spiritual maturity. And you don't have to wait till you're 10 years older in Christ to mature, or 20 years, or 25. Everything that God has in the future for you is available now for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now follow me carefully. What then is the secret of this rapid growth? If I can have all the fullness of Christ now, and if Christ in His fullness is available now for me, what is the secret? Very simply this. The secret is abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 30:15 says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Let me illustrate. Look at me now. Everybody, look at me. This is not classroom, note-taking time. This preaching time. I want to change your life, not change your notebook. Listen to me. I was traveling not long ago to the city of Norfolk, Virginia. Had a stopover in the city of Richmond, Virginia. Now, I got on that big old jet plane and took off, landed in Richmond, Virginia. Now, hear me carefully. That plane taxied to the gate. Folks got off. A few of us were staying on to go on to Norfolk. I was one of them. All of a sudden, the engines got quiet. Not a sound. Everything still. And as the engines were quiet and the plane was still, that big powerful plane that had flown 550 miles an hour to Richmond, Virginia, now is there. And what happened? I'm going to go into this tonight a little more fully. But a gasoline truck came out. And that gasoline truck hooked itself up to the tank. I want to tell you something. That gasoline truck was already filled. It was already filled. There was all of the gasoline that that airplane needed in that truck and then some. And that big old plane sat there, still, quiet with all that potential energy of soaring with its big jet engines through the sky. It sat there still and quiet.
Abiding. And while it was still, that's what it means. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength.
And while it was abiding there,
that truck had the hose hooked up. And we could not hear it. Couldn't hear one sound. But that gasoline was going through that hose and into the wings of that airplane.
Now listen. Listen.
What was the only hope for that airplane?
Well, the airplane didn't frisk around out in the runway. It had to get fuel. And the only way to get fuel was to be still and quiet.
Engines must be off. And there must be the connection between the tank and the airplane. And that's just in a few minutes. The tank was filled. The plane had been abiding in Christ.
And just a few minutes, that plane went out. And all of a sudden, those engines began to rev. And the mighty point, never get used to it. I've done it hundreds and thousands of times. Never get used to it. As all of a sudden, the energy that could not have been known had it not abided.
The airplane didn't get the energy to fly by a lot of working. It got the energy to fly by being still.
And getting hooked up to the source of its fuel. And then the airplane began to lumber down the runway. All of a sudden, a great surge of power. And up in the sky, off we go in the wild blue yonder above the clouds. And to take its passengers to Norfolk, its destination. Why? Because it had been abiding. It had to be still. And if you would take time to abide in Christ,
you could have his food. And that airplane will go just as far as the length of its abiding. And that's why some of you poop out and peter out.
That's why some of you wash out. That's why some of us do not have the power and the strength we need. And that's why we're babies. Let me tell you something, those of us who are soul winners. Let me tell you something, rustling bus captains. Thank God for you. Let me tell you something, excitable, excited Christians. Let me tell you something. Zealots for God, and only God knows how we need zealots and excited Christians. But I want to tell you something. There is no way in this world that you can continue and grow in grace
until you learn to abide. And as you come and abide, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Why? Because they've learned to wait and abide in Christ.
And listen, all you've got to do is hang around Him. Come tonight. I'm going to talk to you tonight about this subject of abiding. But hang around Him. I mean, just get up there and be still. Stop your bus route. Shut down the Christian school for a while.
Hush the great choir
for a few minutes.
Shh!
Stop. Just get hooked up to Christ and abide. And as you abide, His mighty power quietly flows into you. And then you can go infinitely higher than you could have gone if you hadn't been abiding. Sometimes I feel I cannot preach. You see, with me it's preaching every day, almost every day.
Now, nobody has a good day all every day. I mean, there's no after Sunday, a busy Sunday. I can't join the other preachers and go on the golf course and get relaxed playing golf. I'm preaching somewhere tomorrow night. And Wednesday morning, and Tuesday morning, and Tuesday at noon, and Tuesday night, and to fly back for the funeral Wednesday afternoon, back here Wednesday night. I mean, I just haven't got a day to let up, and I haven't got it. And I'm saying this. I'm saying there's times when I feel like I just can't do it. I can't do it.
Now, wait a minute. You know what I do? I don't work it up. I don't work it up. I get alone with Jesus. And I just throw myself and say, Jesus, I can't do it. I can't do it today. And I'll just lay there prone and abide. And He says, that's where I've been trying to get you, to where you can't do it. Now I can do it through you.
And I'll go to the pulpit sometime. And this is not all the time. It's not most of the time. But I'll go to the pulpit sometime. And I just say, I can't do it. I mean, I've sat here before and I said, Lord, I haven't got the strength. I haven't got the wherewithal. I can't do it. I just can't do it. And I hook up to the fuel tank and say, God, I can't do it.
And I'll get up and I'll start to preach. And then all of a sudden, maybe 5 minutes into the sermon, maybe 10 minutes in, and some of you have seen this, all of a sudden, I began to take off.
And all of a sudden, I began to thrill in the things of God. And all of a sudden, something comes in. What is it? I have come
and been quiet. And said, Lord, I've got the machinery, but I've got to have the fuel. I come and I lay at His mercy and I abide in Him. Let me explain to this. God is love.
And God became flesh. And divine love began to run in the channel of a human heart.
I do not love you this morning. God loves you through me this morning.
I mean, the love that I give you this morning is not my love. I've been abiding in Christ. And the abiding in Christ, God's divine love flows through me.
It's not the airplane fuel that caused that big jet to take off from Richmond, Virginia. It was the fuel that flowed into that jet as it stopped to abide and hook itself up with the source of the fuel. It's not my love this morning. I don't mean this. I mean, when I say I love you, I mean it. No pastor could love his people more than I love mine. But it's not me. It's not I that loves you.
It's divine love flowing through me. Why? Because of abiding. Abiding. Christ, love is available for me. But I cannot have it if I just fly by it.
I've got to abide. I've got to come as the airplane and be still and quiet before God. That's why He said, be still and know that I'm God. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God.
A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. And that's why that the Bible said that the God was not in the wind and God was not in the fire. But after the wind and the fire, there was a still small voice and God was in the voice.
And I'm not going to know the great power of God to soar to the heavens till I've laid myself prostrate at the feet of Christ and said, Jesus, I cannot do it. The truth is, we're doing it too much by ourselves. I love you. Hate me if you will, but I love you. Somebody said, I don't love Him anymore. That is an utter impossibility.
You're losing my love. That is an utter impossibility. God's love never faileth. If your love is worked up because of some attractiveness in the object, you love somebody because she's pretty or he's handsome, or she's a good cook, or he's delightful, or he's strong, or she has a good personality. And that's not love. That is physical. That's attraction by the body or the soul. But when you hook up to God's divine source of love, He who is love,
as you abide in Him, He flows through you and gives you His own love. And the love that I offer you this morning is not mine, but His flowing through me to you. Actually, I'm just a hose.
and His love flows to you, but it flows through me. So I cannot give you a cheapened love that can be changed because of your behavior toward me. I cannot give you a cheapened love that can be diffused because you hate me, but I can give you a love that never faileth. Why? It is God's love. Where did I get it? I've been abiding in Christ. Hate me if you will, but I love you. Get mad at me if you will, but I love you. Drive verbal nails in the hands and feet of someone else's heart, but if he loves you, he loves you, and it cannot be destroyed. Do what you will. You cannot quench my love. You see, I don't love you because of what you are. I love you because I leaned on the breast of Jesus and abided in Him, and He filled me with His love, and now I'm only a conduit transferring God's love to you, and God's love to you, and how do you get it? You abide in Christ. You don't have to be a baby anymore. You can have all that God has. Why don't we have it? You're depending on me to give it to you. Why don't we have it? You're depending on a Christian college to give it to you. Why don't we have it? You're depending on a Sunday school to give it to you. Why don't we have it? You're depending on a church to give it to you. Oh, no. Oh, no. Mm-mm. The pilot of that airplane could not give the power to that airplane. He could only taxi that plane up to the source of power and then let that plane abide. I cannot give you the power. It's my job to tell you where it is. And the reason we do not have it, and the reason we do not have His fullness, and the reason you're 10 and 15 and 20 years old in Christ and still a baby, it's because you have had the idea that you could grow and grow and grow, and that you could only grow as time passes, and that God rations out every day a little more growth and a little more growth and a little more growth. It's not like that. Look at me, folks. Everything that God has is completed. Everything that God has for you is already finished. And everything you can ever have, you can begin to get now and get it quickly. How do you get it? Abide in Christ. Now, if that plane wants to stay there 10 seconds, it'll get enough fuel to take it out the runway. Won't stay there 2 minutes, it can take enough fuel to let it take off. Stay there a long time, it can be filled with the fullness of that truck. And Christ comes this morning to you and says, you don't have to wait to grow in grace. You don't have to wait until chronological development takes place and time passes, and God does not say, here's a little growth today, here's some tomorrow, and someday you can be mature. No, He's not saying that. He's saying, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I am already formed. He says, see, His fullness is there. Now, how full you are of His fullness depends on how long you stay at the tank. How long you abide in Christ. The average Christian in this room does not spend that many minutes a week leaning on the breast of Christ. And you are not going to grow in grace and be mature until you come to the place in your life to where you abide in Him. The other night I was preaching, it's been weeks ago. I was preaching somewhere, and I felt like I could not walk from the chair to the pulpit. And I simply said, oh, Master, here I am. I can't do it. It's up to you to work through me. I stood to speak and stuttered for a while. And all of a sudden, about 15 minutes into the message, God reached down and got a hold of my heart. And we soared to the sky. And for the first 15 minutes of that sermon, I said to myself, I'll be glad when it's over. I don't have it tonight. I just don't. When the service was over, we're driving home, and the pastor looked over and said, Dr. Hiles, I never heard you like I heard you tonight, and I've heard you hundreds of times. I never heard you like I heard you tonight. I didn't tell him.
But I went to my room and told God. I was absolutely empty. But I just sat there in the song service and said, I can't do it. I'm weak. And God said, weak are the ones I like to help. I did not know God was refueling me. I didn't feel fuel as it came in. I didn't hear the gushing as it came in. I didn't hear the gurgling of the fuel. I didn't hear it. But I was close to Jesus. That's why He says, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. And ladies and gentlemen, what this church needs and what the people in this room today need more than any other 10 things in our Christian lives, we need to learn to be still and know that He is God. You say, how will I know, preacher, if I can't feel anything while I'm close to God and just lying there in His presence and I can't feel anything? How do I know I've got it? When you try to take off our Heavenly Father.